Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk, alternatives. And happy days to you, all of Southern California. Today I have a great topic for you. I think this is the third time I've done this topic. It's one of my favorites. It is called The Nomad in Relationships. Seems like a lot of us have many problems concerning relationship stability. Many people get married and divorced, married and divorced, married and divorced. Many people fall in love and break up, fall in love and break up, fall in love. Once in a while you find a rare being from another dimension who does get happily married and even remains so for all their life. But as we are getting deeper into the age of Aquarius, and especially with karma running so hot in relationships, it seems like there are many more nomads out there, and therefore a lot more frustration, heartache, heartbreak, loneliness, and people that just can't handle the fact that they can't get relationships to work. So in today's edition of the Astrology Hour, we are going to identify this astrological nomad, defined as the wanderer, or the person who definitely has a problem holding on to commitment, relationships, or dealing with it. A lot of times in my life, I have found that the best advice for a nomadic person, and if you're not sure whether you're a nomad, of course, I invite you to call the show today, and I'll check and see if your chart is nomadic or not. Frankly, in order for you to qualify as a non-nomadic person or somebody who would do better in relationships as far as knowing how to flow with a relationship without rocking the boat, creating issues, or manifesting the wrong people in your life that may prevent commitment for you, then you would be a person that would have trines and sextiles on your Venus, on your Mars, or both. And once in a while, we do find also people with seventh house planets that are unafflicted are also more suited. Are these the experts? These are the ones that know how to manifest better relationships and know how to survive in these relationships. And I have found our more happily married people, even soulmate combinations, are people that sometimes find their loves in high school or college and seem to survive with them married their whole life. The rest of us are on a wandering quest, some people having 100, 200, up to 300 intimate partners in their lives. I even heard one guy on the air admit to having 1,000 sexual partners. Definitely a nomadic chart. And I would think, frankly, that today's show is dedicated to you, the loner, to you, the one who may be frustrated in commitment, relationships, and marriage, to you, the person who has had several relationships, and every time you meet someone new, you're embarrassed to talk about how many previous suitors you've had in your life, to you, the person that involves yourself constantly in love triangles, having two or more lovers trying to overlap or balance relationships, to you, the one who is unable to process relationships because you're too insecure to let go, you don't know how to let go, or you just manifested a stubborn partner in your life that won't let go of you. So that's who this show is dedicated to you on this very special edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Now, let's define the nomad. Okay, first of all, let's get a couple of things straight. When we talk about nomadic relationships, typically in the natal chart, we are analyzing the planets Venus and Mars, the lords of Libra and Aries. Venus also rules Taurus. But for today's show, we are focusing on Venus as the ruling planet of Libra, which is the sign that rules love, relationships, marriage, partnerships, and bonding or commitment, and Mars being the lord of Aries, which rules the self, the individual, and also the person as far as self-development goes, self-esteem, self-love, self-motivation, self-everything. Now, also in the natal chart, whenever we are analyzing relationships, karmically speaking, we always look to the planet Venus, in my opinion, to identify and analyze love relationships with women. So if you are, for example, a heterosexual man or a gay woman, then we would be looking at your planet Venus to identify your nomadic qualities or not. Also, when we take a look at the planet Mars for today's show in the natal chart, if you are a heterosexual woman or a gay gentleman, then we would analyze your planet Mars to see if you have perhaps a nomadic tendency in relationships. Now, there are a few exceptions in this topic, because occasionally you will meet people that do have their planet Venus and Mars afflicted, and they will overcome the karma, because they may be astrological or metaphysical or just darn intuitive, and understand their pattern after being knocked upside the head one too many times, that they just decide to float through relationships, trying not to resist whatever is happening, sometimes keeping the mouth shut and the ears open in the beginning stages, therefore allowing it to grow and take root, and also avoiding sort of defining or laying out the relationship or identifying the relationship, which sometimes is just plain unnecessary. Do you know, some of my more happily married clients are people that have never discussed issues of love, never discussed the relationship, never discussed communications. In fact, issues of love, communications, and commitment are so powerful between most bonded partnerships and commitments and marriages that these energies are sometimes left best unsaid because both partners are so intuitive with the bonding going on that they are aware of the high level of communication, love, and commitment that is going on. Whereas a lot of nomadic type people get involved with partners in relationships and they think it's necessary to act sometimes as each other's therapists in relationships, defining love, defining commitment, and spelling out the relationship. This is sort of insecure in my opinion, only that in that when people try to spell out relationship, it's like they don't know it's there. And if they don't know that the relationship is clearly there, the question is, what are they even doing involved in this situation if the relationship is that vague? Because most people, when they get involved in love relationships, they don't have to spell out the commitment because they kind of know it's there. You know, you have that eye contact with each other, the hand-holding, the hug, the kisses, the intimacy, where you know that this is special, and because you're both not insecure, you don't have to spell it out. Well, why is it that so many of us are so self-destructive? Why is it that so many of us are so irritable and so angry? Why is it that so many of us have so much trouble dealing with one-on-one relationships? Well, let's take a look here. There's several reasons. First of all, Venus not only rules the female factor in the chart, but it also rules a tender, nurturing, love side to our nature. Let's face it, Venus is the love factor. So obviously, people with Venuses that are trined in sextiles without any squares, oppositions, or inconjuncts, frankly, I feel, dharmically speaking, they have earned the right to have more love stability in their current lifetime. Whereas those of us that may have a square or an opposition on our Venus obviously abused some of the power endowed upon us from being able or qualified to even understand what love factors are. A lot has gone on throughout the history of this planet. There's been a tremendous amount of abuse, physical, emotional, and mental. There's been a tremendous amount of disloyalty, a tremendous amount of cheating, tremendous amount of lying, a tremendous amount of promiscuity, and a lot of us have brought all this karma back with us in this current lifetime under the nomadic quality of the natal chart, which is typically identified by afflicted Venus, afflicted Mars, or both. And occasionally you will find what we call the super nomad, who will have Venus and Mars under attack against each other in their own chart, meaning either the Venus square Mars in the natal chart or the Venus opposed Mars. Now, once again, I am not putting down anyone for being a nomad because I myself have nomadic qualities in my chart, having an afflicted Venus in Cancer, square Neptune in Libra. So this topic is for me just like it is for many of you too. What I am saying is that identifying, number one, that you do have a nomadic tendency, that's part one of getting over the hump. Because you notice, I have an afflicted Venus or an afflicted Mars, or both, or together they're afflicted to each other, right? Number two, trying to put the pieces together to see what exactly it is that is afflicting my Venus or Mars. Maybe you have a Venus square Saturn. Wow, that could be major karma in life, women, and love. Maybe you have a Venus square Jupiter. Talk about overindulgence or going overboard with love, too quick, too fast every time you get involved. Maybe you have a Venus opposed Uranus. Sudden quick makeups, sudden quick breakups. A lot of karma with friends and lovers when you have something like that. You have to identify to find out what your own unique nomadic quality is. First of all, what sign that Venus or Mars is in, what house that Venus or Mars is in, and also what sign the planet it is under stress to, what sign that planet is in, what planet it is, and what house that planet is in, and also what aspect it is, whether it's a square, an opposition, or an inconjunct. A lot of you have very complicated charts. For example, I was married. Can you believe that I actually picked a woman with Mars in Virgo that was double square, Uranus and Venus in Gemini, and then on the other end, square Jupiter in Sag, which was opposed the Venus-Uranus. So without knowing a thing about astrology, I married a super nomad, a woman with obliterated Virgo Mars with two T-squares on it. And frankly, like I say, there's nothing wrong with this person. But being astrologically aware, I might have allowed the courtship and the engagement to go just a bit longer before committing to marriage. Because a lot of times, if you know you're nomadic, and you know you love or you're dating someone that's also nomadic, astrologically speaking, then the odds are that patience, caution, simplicity, logic, and trying to keep it calm and simple will be important elements to prevent any relationship from being either getting too intense or being blown out of the water. Now, actually, obviously, if you're on your quest for love and marriage, and you should happen to discover a person that has an unafflicted Venus or Mars, it doesn't mean they're not a nomad, because they may have seventh house planets, right? Planets that would deal with commitment karma, they would be afflicted. Or they might have their seventh house lord of their descendant would be afflicted, or they could have Libra stress in their chart, Libra planets under square opposition, also afflicted, which would also qualify that person, even with a blessed Venus and Mars, as a nomad. In this instance, this person will be able to attract a lot of relationships and keep them, but sometimes either become too promiscuous because of all the variety, or try to manage two commitments at once, like being a little bit more polygamous, as you say. Talk about bigotry, that's what that person might have. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit further here about the nomad in astrology. And once again, if you want to find out if you are a nomad, and some of you out there may have trines to your Venus or your Mars, like I said, but you may also have squares and or oppositions to that same Venus and Mars, and I'm sorry, that does qualify you as a nomadic type. And nomads do get married. A lot of times they don't last long. Sometimes they'll even be married for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And eventually they'll have that 30, 35-year divorce that can also be obliterating and catastrophic when that happens, because you look at yourself and go, wow, I dedicated 20, 30 years to this person. I'm going to have to pick up myself and continue with my life and just say that was a good experience, time to do something else. But usually, the definition of a nomad, in human terms, if you want to know, is usually typically someone that is destined to experience a karma with themselves and other people in relationships that eventually lead to breakup and or divorce or separation between two people. And that is why, if you're wondering why the odds in having a successful marriage, especially in America, or if you're wondering why the odds in two people even staying together in a relationship are so incredibly high, now you know why. Because you got it, much of the population is made up of a high, high frequency of nomadic charts. And considering a lot of the traditional values have changed throughout the centuries, that people are not encouraged to remain in relationships, but because of all the promiscuity and the experimentation going on in today's world culture, that it's a lot easier to go in and out of relationships. In this way, we are experiencing many, many marriages. And you've got it. You could be even involved in a mini marriage with a person for 2 weeks or a month or 2 months. And typically, this person has been somebody that you, in fact, have been married to in a past life. Like when I got a reading, for example, by Dr. Peebles, he informed me, Tom Jacobson in trance informed me, that I had 200 of my ex-wives from past lives on this planet in my lifetime today. And he also advised me that many of us have 50 to 100 or more of our spouses out there. And now you're wondering why you have loved so many people and have got involved with so many people in your life, because you actually feel that close to them on first sight. And eventually when the karma wells up in the nomadic transit, you decide you'd either rather be alone or you'd rather do something else with your life, like look for somebody else. Pretty interesting topic here. And I know this topic will probably answer a lot of questions to many of you who are new listeners and have never heard my philosophy on the astrological nomad. Well, at this point, there's probably a lot of you out there going, Farley, I really feel like an idiot because I didn't send for my chart, and now I can't check my aspect list on the third page of my astroscope to see if, in fact, I do have any paragraphs that say Venus square something or Venus oppose something or Mars square something or Mars oppose something or something square your Venus, oppose your Venus, or square your Mars, or oppose your Mars. You can find it all in the aspect list of the third page of your astroscope, and you can also find an explanation of the karma in the body of the report. Somewhere just find that heading of that aspect. But anyway, to find out if you are a nomad, check your astroscope to see if you have any of those squares or oppositions to your Venus or Mars. All right, we're talking about the astrological nomad, or why some people have problems in relationships. And frankly, if you have any planet in square to your Venus or your Mars, then you are guilty, possibly, karmically speaking at least, of being your own worst enemy. It's like building an ugly sculpture. I don't know why it is that people with squares to their Venus if they're interested in women, or squares to their Mars if they're interested in men, why these people are such authors and editors of what we would call catastrophic relationships, where the love is lost quickly, or blown out of the water, ill feelings are created, emotional problems from squares are constantly identified. And I also look at squares from past lives as self-destructive behavior that we brought back to this life. And I really think that a person, to overcome a square to a Venus or Mars in a nomadic chart, what they really need to focus on is themselves. I think the problem is in relationships is that people identify this relationship as being two separate entities, when the relationship is really going on inside of yourself, because you are God, because you are one with God, because you are only one being. You are the one being in this entire universe. Just because you're in a body that offers an illusion of separation, when you feel close to another person, that relationship is going on inside of you, not outside of you. So what you have to love, in my opinion, to work out these squares is yourself, your own self-esteem. And if you want to work on the relationship or identify the relationship or spell out commitment, then do it to yourself. I mean, sometimes there'll be people out there with Virgo planets, right? Sixth house planets, Gemini planets in their chart that will need to sit down and spell out that relationship. And frankly, honestly, there's a couple people that have Virgo complements in their chart with each other. They're going to love that. They're going to love sitting out there and discussing the stuff and writing a book on it, finding out what it means. I don't, because I not only have no Virgo in my chart, I have no Earth. So my best relationships have been filled with light, breezy, fun-loving people, lots of fun, lots of happiness. When problems come up, they seem to fade away quickly. We don't dwell on them. We don't manifest any more negativity. We seem to have a good time. Of course, a lot of times these relationships may end eventually as quickly as they begin, but at least I look back on them as pleasant, happy, fun-loving experiences. Considering I'm a nomad, you got to take what you can get sometime, right? But the frank part here, the honest part here about understanding squares in your chart, especially if you're the rare lucky winner of having a Venus square Mars in your chart, right? And obviously, if you have Venus square Mars, if you're a man, a woman, or a gay man, or a gay woman, then you definitely have incredible karma with yourself concerning relationships, and you are definitely identified as a nomadic quality person, okay? And frankly, once again, I say the stress and the battle of this aspect occurs within. And if you want to dump it out on your partner, then you'll probably dump out the quality that could light the fuse that will eventually blow the relationship. I know there's a lot of people that will try to say that they've had some good experiences in relationships with these nomadic aspects, and some of them possibly have. Because like I say, if you rise up above it all, you become spiritual and you embrace the essence of God and truth, you keep shining that on yourself and your partner like you were watering a beautiful plant, then possibly you can enhance and promote the growth of any relationship. So there are your exceptions to the rule. And also, if you happen to be the lucky winner of a person with Venus or Mars in opposition to another planet, congratulations, you're the person that is called the chaser, usually the person who goes after the wrong person in relationships. You will set yourself up to be used, manipulated, abused. You will feel that. You will project it. You will offer it. And frankly, how are you supposed to make relationships work when you attract the exact wrong people for you? These people, in a way, I think, can be masochistic because they always, so many times, attract people that are so wrong for them, they won't let go. They're afraid to let go. They continue to be tortured. These are people that you'll attract to your life that will cheat on you, that will lie on you, that will have multiple partners, but you don't care. A lot of people say, that's okay, be a swinger, be a liar, be a cheater, I still love you anyway. There could be lots of fighting in relationships, even physical abuse, when you have an opposition to the Venus or the Mars. So we call oppositions to Venus and Mars the warrior nomad. We go beyond just the wanderer, we're into the aggressive wanderer when you get into that. And obviously, if you're the type of person that has more than one square on a Venus or Mars, like a T-square, an opposition, or a grand square and a grand cross, then you obviously are someone that needs to remain mellow, calm, and meditate when getting involved in relationships. Never ever looking for anything, never ever expecting anything, but taking the very best you receive, whatever it is, out of any relationship. Because I'll tell you what our problem is. Our problem here with nomadic people, including myself, when you have squares or oppositions to the Venus and Mars in abundance or even in shorthand, frankly, we tend to expect too much. We create prerequisites. We're the ones looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right, who usually never, ever exist. And a lot of times what we should learn to accept is Miss Almost Right or Mr. Almost Right, accepting the fact that because of our nomadic qualities in our natal chart, that obviously We are going to create manifest relationships in our charts that are going to create outstanding karma catalyst situations in our lives. And just like many other people I know that have gotten into astrology and metaphysics with nomadic qualities in their charts, they have gone through traumatic relationship breakups and divorces like myself. We create these monsters, then we pull ourselves away from them, and when we slap the dust off and the air clears, then we are better for it usually, unless we have the total breakdown and escape and are not strong about it. So, you know, this is a very, very powerful topic. I'll tell you why, because just because you might be one of those people going, well, Farley, I'm not a nomad because I don't have an afflicted Venus or Mars. There's also the nomadic transit, which means that your chart may be blessed at birth, but eventually one day you may go through a square or an opposition to your natal Venus or your Mars. And then a nomadic transit will be triggered when you fight to hang on to that dream relationship that's been okay up till now. Then suddenly, for whatever reason, the karma strikes. See, there's natal karma at birth we diagnose and analyze by understanding the natal chart. Then there's the transit karma that is triggered depending on our choices later in life. So there are two types of nomads. There's a natal nomad and there's a transit nomad. See, like for example, interesting point would be my sister, who has a blessed Mars in Scorpio, but she went through a nomadic transit. So after 25 years, she also went through that breakup too. But ordinarily, I looked at her chart and said, gosh, isn't that something? My sister met her soulmate in high school and they got married. She was 18. They had two beautiful kids and lived 25 years. But boom, she got hit by that transit and that broke her up. It was a long transit. It was Saturn through Scorpio at that time. So, a lot of times when Saturn goes on your Venus and Mars, no matter how it's aspected. Melanie, if you're listening, I got divorced when Saturn was on my Venus and you got divorced when Saturn was on your Mars. So when Saturn goes over your Venus or Mars, no matter what you're doing, the nomadic qualities can be clear. I believe that if you do identify yourself as a natal nomad or a transit nomad, remember, above and beyond anything else, you are one with the universe. There is no separation. You are one with God. And you don't have to look any further beyond your own self to find the love and the light in the universe that exist, because all people are within. And when you get that straight, then you'll be a lot better off. You'll probably handle your relationships so much better. And if you learn to mellow out and calm down in relationships and fight hard to be loyal and fight hard to be truthful, fight hard to be honest, and learn to attach yourself to people where you get mutual respect, not any of these challenges or chases. When you follow some of those few basic properties, then perhaps your relationships will improve, hopefully like mine will too. And there's the topic, the nomadic aspect in relationships. Let's go to the phones now for a full half hour, starting with Monica, the Virgo Gemini rising on line one. Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent show. I'm going to have a tape at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you guys born in the early 50s are littered with lots of Cancer Libra stress because Uranus was in Cancer, Saturn and Neptune was in Libra. So no matter where your Venus or Mars is, it's that Cancer Libra stress that also triggers lots of karma, as you know, with relationships. What can we do for you?
I'm wondering about my career. It has been really the pit for a while. I don't even think I have a 10th house. And I'm wondering about marriage.
Well, your career has shown an immediate surge. Mars will go into Aquarius and trine your career lord Neptune in the next 2-3 months. So that looks fine. You may have gone through a little crisis this last year with career. And you are shown a marriage almost imminent. Your relationships are better than they've ever been. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Farley.
Bye. Let's go to Kristen on line 2, October 20th, 57, Aquarius rising. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm not calling on the topic, and I feel a little guilty about that.
That's okay. Don't feel guilty.
My current relationship has lasted for about 13 years now, and my Venus is trying my Uranus, and Mars is trying Aquarius. Does that...
Wow. Well, that does it. You know, when you have all those trines, that definitely does help relationships tremendously.
Okay. Well, I just got my starter pack this week.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I'm a little overwhelmed with information, and I was wondering if maybe you could give me a brief reading to get me started from a little better vantage point.
Where you're at right now is you probably need a class or a book to supplement your learning, because astrology is a science, and you should read your How Horoscopes Work study guide over again several times, like you were studying for a test, until you feel like it's starting to sink in.
Okay.
And you should also fill in all your abbreviations and identify your rising sign and your planets in your chart.
Okay.
But the best book I recommend is called Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith, which is also available at most bookstores. And you know, even though you're overwhelmed, granted you are, but you knew your Mars was trine Aquarius, right? So as overwhelmed as you might seem, you're still further than you might have been a couple months ago, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's hope for you then. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Deloria on line 4, Sag member, Scorpio rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Excellent.
Great. Well, I wanted to tell you, Farley, I have Mars in the 12th house at 20 Libra conjunct Neptune at 25 degrees.
Let's get married. You already are married. I'm just kidding.
I also have the Moon in Scorpio at 19 degrees.
Oh, mercy. We're too similar, aren't we? You also have a Mars trine Jupiter. That must mean you are married.
I am married.
Well, in fact, wow, God, you have a blessed chart. I love it. See, like, your chart isn't nomadic as much.
Yeah.
Mars, Neptune conjunct, trine Jupiter, but square Uranus. So it's like agony and ecstasy aspect.
Oh, that's for sure.
So part of you might feel like you want to run and be the nomad, and the other part is the good wife, of course.
That's right. Well, I have Taurus in the 7th.
You know, another nomadic quality is, of course, the Scorpio moon. Because the moon is in fall, it does its worst in Scorpio. Emotionally, people try to dig feelings out of us. We don't even know how we feel. And sometimes we get abused or taken advantage of emotionally, where other people are ahead of us. We're trying to catch up. And a lot of Scorpio moons, when they do fall in love, they get smashed on or heartbroken or rejected.
Yes.
So that's another nomadic winner I have in my chart. So what can we do for you?
Well, my daughter's home this week, and I wanted to ask you about our relationship.
Okay, well, what's her chart?
Well, she has Libra rising, and she also has Saturn on her ascendant like I do, and she has the moon in Cancer.
Do you get along?
Yes, we have our moments.
Well, the moon, the water moons are good for mother-daughter because emotionally you relate. My father has a water moon, and a lot of times when I've been miserable, I'll call him up, and he relates to it as much. My mom's got an air moon, and she's more into discussing it, you know, and talking about it, whereas my dad, he cries easy when he watches TV sometimes, so I'll sit down and cry there with him. But my mom cries easy, too, so. But, you know, a lot of times the water moon between the mother and daughter is excellent.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And the fact that you both have Saturn in the ascendance is like your personalities may be similar. It's almost like a Capricorn rising.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, Farley, I'm taking an astrology class, and Stephanie Erickson says hello.
Well, you tell Stephanie that I probably love her more than almost anyone on this planet.
Well, I'll tell her that.
Okay? She went to the same school I went for astrology.
Oh, yeah.
The Academy of Atlantis. And we've known each other for millions of years.
She told me.
Okay, you tell Stephanie to call me. Maybe I'll have her on my show.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She is one of the best astrologers in the universe. Carol is a Taurus with Virgo rising. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good topic.
Heavy, huh?
Yeah.
It's like putting myself up on a cross and say, see, world, I'm vulnerable. Check it out. And all these women are going, I'm staying away from that nomad. I don't blame them.
Okay. I need help.
You need help.
I've been with a guy. He's an Aquarius. He's...
Oh, you have a Mars-Neptune opposition in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you related to the topic, huh?
Uh-huh.
Gotcha, didn't I?
You said the chase word. I said, that's me.
The chase word. That's me.
Okay, I've been with this guy for 2 years. He's Aquarius, 2-12-62, and I just met this guy a little while ago, and he's a Sag, 12-9-60.
Wait a minute. You got two guys you're talking about here?
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, the Aquarius has Venus square your Mars. So that right there is real potentially stressful, okay?
Oh, yeah, it's been a real stressful.
Okay. Now, who's the other one here?
He's 12-9-60, he's a Sag.
Okay, now this guy, on the other hand, has Venus in Capricorn, which does a lot better for you, 100% better. So if I had this combination, knowing that sometimes I do have the edge when I look at charts, the 60 guy has Venus trine your Mars.
Wow.
So you'll find a lot more flow, probably better sex, much more getting along, cooperation, even though you are both nomads.
Uh-huh.
Because his Venus is square his Mars in Cancer, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's going to be challenging, but at least there's more compatibility in the 60s. Don't let me make the choice for you, though, okay?
No, I kind of thought so, but I just wanted to check with you and see what you thought.
All right, thanks, Carol. Bye-bye. You're so okay. Cute. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We should put a flag on these nomads. I think in the year 2040, nomads are going to have identification, so we all know it. Ricky, hey, how you doing? Leo, sister.
Just fine. How have you been, Farley? I love your program.
Thank you. Well, you've heard this topic before, haven't you?
No, I must have missed this one.
So you were glad to hear it then?
Yes, I was. In fact, I'm calling for a person that I know. He was born 1-18-47. He wanted to know about his relationship.
Is he heterosexual? Well, you see, whenever a person has Venus or Mars in Sagittarius, they're so freedom-loving and so happy and so independent that relationships will only work as long as they don't feel stifled or restricted. Okay? So, and also he has Mars in Capricorn, so career is important. So we see that two of his priorities are career and freedom. Now, if he can fit someone in between the career and the need for freedom, then his relationships could work. But he does have a Venus opposed Uranus, which classifies him as a major nomad. Okay?
Okay.
The warrior. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, I'm having fun today with this, Todd. This is a wild topic today. All right, this is the Astrology Hour, 93.5 FM, KFOX, normally and regularly heard every single weekday on the Fox at 12 noon. So make sure you set your alarm or your tape deck so you can record the show and get your dose, your correspondence course of astrological metaphysical radio. And that will be very exciting for you. Okay, and that's today's edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.